finished well with the Copa. The honorable members also had an opportunity to be invited in the meeting that you were, honorable deputy minister, your delegation. Now, we, honorable members, my observation is that the issues that were raised in SCOFA are the issues that we raised and you also report to us about in the committee, matters of capacity and the vacancy rate, and that not filling up key positions, the role of the Auditor General, which I would emphasize again that you have to utilize that institution from time to time. So those are the issues that I think we always tell you to make a follow-up on. Now, the honorable members were there. I'm just going to give them quickly to comment because they were in that meeting, so that they should further advise the department as to what to do. Honorable members, over to you. So the honorable members do not have a comment. Okay, honorable sir.
That the issues raised were in the Auditor General's report and it was captured in the impact report. And there was a turnaround strategy and team put in place by September 2015. We were promised that the turnaround strategy would be presented here first and foremost and not the scoper. And we didn't have the privilege of actually having that turnaround strategy presented to this committee to address those specific concerns and issues that we've raised and which were also raised by the Auditor General. So I think what we've heard in the other committee, yes, it's been also our concern. So there's a lot of duplication between the committee and the issues that were raised. But SCOPA deals with financial matters. Does it mean that this committee doesn't deal with financial matters? We are required to interrogate all reports. The QPR is a financial and it's also the non-financial performance of the department that's captured in this report, which we have to interrogate. But given that, I think we should continue with the performance assessment of the department, and of course, the SCOPA will continue with their focus on the financial matters of the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Islam. Then, honorable members, if there is no any other comment, I think we'll get into our business. Honorable Deputy Minister, we know everybody here. There are only two or three people who are new. I see today you came with a very big force. So in the SCOPA, you're introducing big heads in SCOPA, which we don't know. If you can quickly instruct Honorable Deputy Minister that we should be introduced to the new your new found, and we go on with the presentation.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Can I give the acting DG to do that verify?
Thank you, Deputy Minister and the Chairperson. I'll introduce two new incumbents that just joined us. The DDG for Social Economy, which is Dr. Mahapa, and the new CFO, which is Ms. Kendrovu, which is right at the
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for the interest, the new members. My name is Malisi Stanley Mutimela. I'm the chairperson of this portfolio committee. From my right, I'll start with our members, Honorable Isau, member of the committee, Honorable Koza, member of the committee, Honorable Kamede, member of the committee, Honorable Bongo, member of the committee, and these honorable members also serve in the Joint Standing Committee on Defense, as I do, as I co-chair it. Thank you very much. Can we get to the business of the day, Honorable Mr. Sokela?
Thank you, Chairperson. We prepared the presentation, which is General Magem take us through on the presentation on the performance of the department, because during that particular period, he was the one who was acting at that particular point in time. Thank you. Let me hand over to General Magem.
General Magem, can you give us an idea as to how long the presentation is going to take? That you should give direction.
Thank you, Chair, to the Deputy Minister.
I don't think I need to go through every other thing. I think what I would want to just get into those areas that say where the department underperformed.
Because, I mean, the others are already clear. Then it's something so that the department, then there can be better interaction with the committee.
Can we just better approach honorable members? Thank you.
Therefore, if I may, I won't go into first slide, second slide, third slide, and then goes, at least I started talking to slide number five in terms of the legend, in terms of the color coding, targets achieved or partially achieved or not achieved. And then on the next one, slide number seven, in terms of the overall quarterly performance, the department had 19 planned targets extracted from the ATT, were able to achieve 10, and those that were not able to achieve were 9, which then gave us a percentage of 53. And then, if I may, I'm now looking at the next slide, number 8, which was the expected performance indicator, 10 targets. The first one that one would have to look at is PPI 202, which is provision of a decent housing a year. As at the time of reporting, the department had been able to provide 41 houses, as I indicated there. But as a mitigating factor, there has been ongoing discussions to try and see that, in this particular last quarter, the targets that we had put for ourselves can be met. So that will be able to reflect in the last quarter that we are currently in, which is from January till the 31st of March. And then next, to jump to the number of military, the second last bullet, military veterans with access to relevant training and their skills, it was partially achieved. But what we are trying to do there in terms of the mitigating was trying to strengthen our collaboration with the provincial offices, as well as with the SAMVA, so that at least we can enhance skills development applications, so that at least then they are quickly and professionally handled. The last one that we have really not been doing very well on is the number of memorials, military veterans memorials that needed to be erected. But this is premised on the fact that, one of the biggest discussions that is currently underway between the department as well as the Department of Arts and Culture is in trying to formulate a proper military veterans heritage policy, so that we can then be able to direct when we now start going into all the type of memorials, as well as the erection of a memorial sites by the department, And I think this is still going to be ongoing because there's quite a lot of interaction that is currently taking place between the department as well as the Department of Arts and Culture in particular. Then I'm moving on to the performance against the set targets of the ACT 15-16. In the administration the branch, 10 the targets have been set, 7 were achieved, 3 were not achieved. And then I go into slide number 12. What we are looking at there was the issue of the MST, which we had said that we would have finalized in the last quarter so that at least then we can be able to implement in the new financial year starting. We did talk to this issue, the next one, which is the percentage of assigned performance agreements submitted to our Human Resources Management Directorate. Unfortunately, we were not successful in this. And currently, with the new acting teacher, certain directives have been given, and hopefully that, at the end of this financial year, or at least between this last quarter, all this will have been finalized. Then the last one on that particular page is the number of days in terms of the exception reports. The exception reports in terms of payment of within 30 days, we are doing quite well. The only challenge that we have always reported even here is the one that we've been able to settle are the legitimate ones. And the other ones that are in dispute are the ones that give us this leg that we are sitting in amber. And then to move over to the socioeconomic support performance overview, that is the next slide. Five targets that have been planned, 2 were achieved, which gave us a 40% success rate in that particular branch. And it talks to the issue of the military veterans database, which we had said that what we would need to do is to get additional staff to improve the capacity in terms of updating on our files. And then, of course, we have had ongoing engagement with our GITO to produce a database management system. And hopefully we should be able to finalize this particular project within this current financial year, especially in this last quarter. We have already spoken to housing in terms of where we were and with the mitigating circumstances around it. And then the last one on that particular page would be the number of military veterans with access to public transport per annum. You will recall that this has been something that has been sitting here. After some interaction, slowly we were starting now to see the light of day of at least production of an MOU. And we are hoping that by the end of this quarter, an MOU with the Department of Transport will be in place. Because something that we have always reported, it has been always been difficult to get interaction with our colleagues at the Department of Transport. But late in September, we started having those particular interactions. In the empowerment and stakeholder management performance, 4 targets have been set in terms of the APP. 1 was achieved. And 3 were not, which gave us that 25% percentile. And when one looks at this, looking at the strategic initiatives that we have not been able to meet, it's just that the continuous engagements, especially with DERCO, to set up systems for engagement with other countries. Is one of those processes that has already slowed up this particular process on its own. But I do know that the branches have been vigorously engaging with not only just the DERCO, but through DERCO with other entities. And hopefully we should be able to report something slightly positive than what we're reporting at the end of this particular term. Then number of military veterans with us to access to relevant training, it is amber, and we have already spoken about the issue of provincial offices, which I think will report positively in the next quarter, as well as our collaboration that we have now done, which we did at the time with Samba, with their own reach. And we have, as I've already spoken again, into the issue of memorial sites, that we have not been in the engagement that we are having with the Department of Arts and Culture. On the human resource front, at the end of the 31st, we had a 21% vacancy rate. But we hope that, especially now with the introduction that has currently been done by the acting DG, there are new other appointments that have been done even in the lower level. So our picture will be a different picture than what is, what we report, we're reporting at the end of the last quarter. And the statistics are there in the financial information, which is what I wanted to jump to, which would be our slide number 22. Our expenditure is at the end of the last quarter was not looking very good, because we were at 35% spent. But the improvements have been effected, and we are hoping that by the end of the last quarter, which is the end of the financial year itself, a marked improvement, because a lot of other programs had already been put in place. So it's just a question of saying invoicing and payment systems being affected, so that at least our payment percentage goes slightly higher than what it was on the 31st of December. And that is what I wanted to indicate in terms of our last quarter, which we are reporting on. But then we'll be ready to take any comments or questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, General Maki. Honorable members, over to you. Honorable Sam, Honorable Ngo, Honorable Bisi, in that order.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think it's just a general observation, Honorable Chair, is that we see the underperformance in this department, and we've heard the argument of the lack of capacity. Now, clearly, there's underspending taking place and underperformance taking place. And I think that's very important that we actually hear what exactly is the turnaround strategy that will address all these incapacities and incompetencies within the department. To go through all of this, I will probably raise a number of issues of underperformance and lack of performance in the report. And I think we're not going to achieve much with that. The targets have not been achieved. The money that had to be spent in terms of targets being set for the quarter has not been achieved. In certain areas, there's been overachievement, and we congratulate the department for that. But generally, they should be, the underachievement should be the minimal part. The overachievement should be the greater part. And here we find that the two major programs, Program 2 and 3, which is the socio-economic issues dealing with military vets, and the stakeholder management, which deals with the training and education of the military vets, that's seriously undermined. Which means service delivery is not effectively taking place to the military vets. And that, we feel, has not been addressed over the years. We've been complaining about it, and we still complain and will continue to complain until this is resolved. The target that has been set, I know the one of the housing, Honorable Chair. There was also claim made by human settlements at 5,000. That matter has been reviewed and had to be checked. I see it's now 3,000, and the department feel comfortable that they will achieve within this financial year the 3,000 targets. This is according to the report in front of me. Of course, we see the overachievement in terms of the skills and training development. and of course congratulate the department for doing well. Of course, in the last quarter, we expect there's a variance of 397, and that will be achieved with the number of projects and agreements that the department has with the various other departments and agencies that military veterans are employed in. So maybe we'll get an update of all those agreements. And again, we see the transport agreement, which we spoke about for the last 3 years, not an MOU, a draft MOU is in place. And that still is under discussion. And I don't think there was a principal agreement made, and the department is supposed to be cooperative. I do not understand why the Department of Transport would fail in responding to an MOU that in principle has been agreed that it should be done with all government departments in the best interest also of military veterans. The issue that I'd like to also raise is the Department of Administration has achieved a 70% performance, which is commendable. We have 7 out of 10 is commendable. But this is the very department that is responsible for all the policies, all the standard operating procedures, the SOPs, all the guidelines, all the frameworks that manage, that regulate this entire department. If this is the performance and it's the one that is, in terms of also vacancy rate, is the lowest in the administration, which means this administration is supposed to be setting all the structures in place already for this organization, but that is not the case. So who are we employing in this department that is not delivering on the objectives of this department and the targets that have been set for this department? I've got a great concern that we are paying people here and we're not getting the job done, or people are not doing what they're supposed to do. So that is a concern for me. The SMS, performance agreements, I think we all agree that we want 100%. When people are employed, we have just recently the department has employed the CFO, has employed also the head of the socioeconomic section program. Have those performance agreements immediately been attached for the contract of the individual for consideration, and that it's considered and that it's signed off as soon as possible and not delayed and then only signed at the end of the year? I think there's a set time in terms of government regulation. If at the beginning of the financial year in April, then those things should already be in process and be signed off by May for the latest. We'd like those parameters that have been set of good governance, that be implemented, and it's a matter of course that all these performance agreements are there, and then it's just finally negotiated between the, of course, leadership of the department and the new employee that takes up the seat, and those are the senior employees, the SMS. The other one that I'd like to raise is the issue of the HRM. Now, I've looked at these figures, I've looked at the other figures, and I was quite shocked now to see that we had 169 funded posts. Difference again, 132 is 130 now here that's been filled. But we have 98 additional posts to the establishment. 98 according to this report I have of this quarter. And now this quarter I see there's been conflation and things. We have so many people in that building. And I don't know where all these people are actually sitting, honorable chair. 98 additional to what we have filled of 132 out of 169. So how is this department actually running its business with all these additional staff members being in that building, and what are they exactly doing? Are they put really to good use to get the job done? Because clearly from all the reports, the job has not been done. So lack of capacity is being said, but we've got an oversupply of people. And if it's an oversupply, then it's probably then of incompetent people in the place, not doing the right job. It's not the skills match for the job that needs to be done. So this is a major concern for me, and I think the department needs to respond to that effectively, and the turnaround strategy supposed to give clear guidance in that regard. Simply, database target, again, we had a target set for this current year at 37 or 35%. Originally, it was supposed to move up then to 80%. We're way off the mark, way off the mark. And the Honorable Deputy Minister made a commitment. We understand that was an overcommitment to say that it would have been completed at the end of December, more than a year ago. That was unrealistic. But we're standing now I mean, it's totally unacceptable. 24% at the second quarter, and it's projected now third quarter, 26%. Where are we going? Who are these people that are really benefiting now from all these bursaries, from all the health care? And if it's only that a percentage, how does it coincide then with 14,000 members receiving health care, but only 26 have been verified? So how do these things all reconcile? What's happening in the system? Most of our people are not getting the benefits, and those who are getting the benefits, they enjoy it, their families enjoy it, and of course, that's where all your money goes, to a limited amount of people, and it's not been spread to the broader military veterans that actually are suffering out there. So I've got a great concern that the emphasis not being put on the instrument that will determine who qualifies for benefits. This database is of such an absolute, it's a prerequisite before you qualify, and yet it's neglected completely. Why isn't all the resources put into that so that we know who qualifies for what? And then we spend it on those who are the most deserving of the military veterans. At this moment, I cannot even justify to say those who receive are the most deserving, because there's no proper assessment. So this will continue to nag us and to hinder us in actually doing justice to military veterans. So I'm appealing to the ministry, and I'm appealing to this department. Please jack up this, get this done in the shortest time possible so that we can justify our position. We support military veterans and their benefits and those who are most deserving. But under these circumstances, I'm ashamed whenever I meet them, and I always have to apologize to them, because we are the committee that's supposed to exercise oversight, and we don't see the progress happening. So we are always on the back with apologizing to military veterans and the families that are now suffering because their fathers or their mothers that have died in this struggle. So let us please put that concern to good investment into individuals that can complete the project for us as soon as possible. I think that will be all for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister, for attending the committee, and thanks, for the presentation. I think I agree with Honorable Issa on some of the factors that he has raised. But one matter which I think we must deal with as at now, which is very important, and this matter does impact on the Auditor General's report all the time, the issue of settlement agreements. It was a very important matter that we may have to attend to, because in terms of the legislation, end of April should be the last day to sign. So we're well on time in terms of dealing with this matter now, in terms of improving the situation. And I think we may need to improve also on consequence management around some of these issues, because we can't do certain things and afterwards we're unable to follow up to those people who were supposed to act on some of these things. I think we said a lot in the past about the issue of human settlement in the name. And we wanted a turnaround strategy on how to deal with this mess, because there has been some understanding around this mess. So how far is the issue of the MOUs with the human settlement? And then exactly what kind of houses are going to build? What are the engagement with municipalities? It was wanted that in a blueprint so that we're able to give proper oversight on some of these issues. And then you were saying the issue of these memorials that we have agreed to. You'd recall that if you say the arts and culture must develop a policy, then we have a problem, because we have budgeted for some of these things in the budget.
So if we are still to await for the policy from the agriculture department, that may as well take us back in terms of implementation. And that also reflects very negative on what is the expenditure to date. And we well understand the problem. We are fully aware of the problem that we have, but more often than not, you are reliant on the sector department for execution of some of the mandates. But we must be able to do what we are able to do within those things that we are able to do in the department. We must be able to do them swiftly, and I think with exhausting the budget, because I also share the same view with Honorable Esau that we do meet military veterans at home and elsewhere. The fight needs a serious intervention, and that intervention must come from this department. So what we are requesting is that we are going to start a new financial year. We may need to up our socks in terms of improving, particularly on expenditure. It was not nice that the money was go back to treasury from time to time. So we need to generally improve. It can't be that we are at the overall 85% at this point. That, I think, is a problem. So issues around the training, I think those are not reliant on such a department. These are the issues that we can be able to roll out very quickly. I think these are part of the quick wins that the department may have to look at. But generally, we understand the problems that are faced with the department, and we don't expect anyone to contend with these problems. But at the same time, we want everyone in the department to up the socks, roll the sleeves. As we get into the next financial year, we want to see better results. What was raised by the Auditor General is what we have agreed to the department. I think the last time we heard that there will be some turnaround strategy that will be presented to us so that we are able to oversight on the turnaround strategy. So I think that is a level that we must zoom into. So as we start the financial year, we start it with the turnaround strategy, which will change the whole situation. But I think we really thank you for the presentation, and we also thank those who are still able to do the work that they're supposed to do. So with you acting as DG, we hope that in the financial year that we're going, we'll be able to act to the turnaround strategy, particularly on the issues that were raised by the SCOP. We may need to attend to those issues swiftly, with the speed of an Iraq general, but I think we'll be there to oversight over these issues. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much, sir. I'm worried. I don't want to sound controversial, but I just need to talk my mind openly and very honestly so that maybe we might be able to assist the department. Firstly, I want to say to the Deputy Minister, the soldiers, military veterans, are suffering a lot out there. In Grahamstown, one passed away and he was kept in a mortuary for 2 months because there was no money to bury the man. And the military veteran from MP. And when I got there and I was told, I had to phone the department. And the people in the administration were telling me this and that and that and that and that. Till I had to fight tell them I'm not going to wait for all the stories that they're talking about. I was going to call you and the minister. They didn't know your number, which they made me mad to tell me that you don't know the number of the minister. That's that I've forgotten their names, but I will tell you next time because I've sent them down. So that's the situation with our military veterans. The department, when they come here, they give us all the messages, but practical down there, these comrades are suffering. We were with these people in prisons. Some of them were with you in exile. Some of them were with us underground. And their families, they know us. Now you have to get money out of your own pocket, which you don't have, and make the family happy. Because your people will tell you, we are going about the book. We were not going about the book when we were sacrificing, fighting for this country. Now they are there, and those who are in the department are telling us stories. I think that must come to an end. It's very painful, and people don't trust us. They don't trust us anymore because of these people in this department, the administration of this department. I think you need to tell them, talk to them. I want to emphasize the issue of turnaround strategy. The problem I know, I can see what is happening in this department. Person is in Home Affairs this year. After fight, he is moving to another department. The other year to another department. They are roaming around this department and there's no production at all. And we are the victims because it's us who are coming to the people. For me, it makes me very angry. It's just that I don't know what we can do. Because when we're here, we get all these nice stories in this program and practically that's not true. That's the first thing that I wanted to raise. Two, I want to go to them. But I want to go to this person. There's target here, SDS, performance overview. Of five targeted performance indicators, two targets were achieved, which constituted 67% of the overall achievement of 2016 financial year. I don't understand two, and then constitute 67%. After that, there's a calculation, and then that calculation is 40%. If I can just clarify, what is that story? Well, these are the stories that are producing out here, and we go up thinking that things are being done right once there's nothing that is being done right. The other person, that was slide 13, 14. I see here the percentage of bona fide military veterans, qualified, whatever, appointment of staff. No, on this issue of appointment of staff, I'm not interested when we're talking about it. But my understanding is that we are tightening the belt now because of the economic conditions. Now the staff, you are cutting off, you are doing all the things. But the department is unable to give us clear outputs now and to do proper work right now. Now, when the government is saying we must cut off and then stop the appointment and freeze up other posts, and you are doing the same thing I've seen here in this document, how are you going to achieve your targets without these people having us interested in that? The other one is, I'm worried about this ongoing with the Department of Housing. Because the military veterans out there desperately want this house. But it has been ongoing. When is this thing going to be ongoing? Till when? Because now we are not getting a target of when are we going to get to a point where we are saying these houses are being delivered to the military veterans. I know this is in Lukanj and some in Port Elizabeth. And the other point that we raised when we're talking about you on this issue of the housing is the issue of integration. Because if you put these people right there on their own corners, then you're not integrating them back to society. And you are making them targets. So we have not had your plan together with the municipalities, but I can see that you are still engaging with the municipality, but my name was till when? It was 5 years is going to come to an end. You will be still engaging. And at the same time, your DGs and the DPGs, they keep on acting. You don't have a DG or a DPG, permanent one which will be doing the work. One is going to act, and later you find that that one was acting is not there, another one is acting till the 5 years is over. What are we going to report back to the people that have said we must come here when we are campaigning? Because you must do the work so that when we go back to campaign to the people, who are able to tell them that 1, 2, 3, 4 has been achieved. So if you are not doing these things, how are we going to report? Because the people are understanding us now as politicians. When you do, you don't do your work as administrator. Let's see another point there. The MOUs, it's like that, the same thing, because it has a rate. Last time when we met, MOUs being developed. They are still being developed. But till when? Because we need to be told that at least by the end of this year, then we would have completed these MOUs and they would have been implemented at some point, so that we know that we will be monitoring the implementation. We can't be monitoring the discussions. We can't perpetually. Not at all. So you need to come here and tell us, when are you going to complete these MOUs? All of them. We are told that the MOUs are in place or they are being discussed. We are not hearing anyone saying, with the Nelson Mandela Metro, the MOU is there and there's there. There are houses that are going to be built there in Nelson Mandela, about 5,000 in this financial year. And from the Department of Housing or Human Settlement. We are not hearing anything from you. How far have you negotiated in terms of those houses that are going to be built there, so that military veterans are incorporated with those houses? There are many other places where houses are going to be built. You are busy with MOUs on the other side, but nothing that is talking to what is going to happen right now in front of us. Thank you very much, President. That what we have to do is to cry for nothing, because definitely, Deputy Minister, your administration is not assisting you and us. Because those soldiers with us are that they know it. And they would ask us, why don't you talk to KG? Because KG wants, let us suffer like this. But unfortunately, when we want to talk to you to tell you here the truth, then your administration don't know your number. That's why I asked my administrator to SMS me the number and the name of those guys, because I suspect maybe they are here now, but they won't say that they were talking to me. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
thank you, Chair, and thank you, Deputy Minister, for gracing us with your presence. And I'm definitely sure that after this meeting, we are all going to have your number. Chair, we have a serious problem here, and it's clear. We will talk and talk, but I think it's going to be fair that the department needs to tell us, as the portfolio committee, what is really the cause of the underperformance and the understanding. I hear they are trying to justify giving us the mitigation strategies, but what are the monitoring mechanisms that after they've set up those strategies of monitoring, how do they monitor that on top of the monitoring that they have, because it's clear it's not working for them. A lot has been said by my colleagues. I don't want to go into that, but what is really the cause? What assistance do they need from the community so that we'll try and close these gaps? Because we'll end up pointing fingers at each other. As a portfolio committee, I don't think we are the ones that are supposed to be pointing fingers at them, telling them that they are not doing okay. Where we see that they are not doing okay, we need to know exactly that this is where they are not doing okay, and this is what we need to do so that all of us, at the end of the day, we take ownership of whatever wrong or whatever right that is there. I think that's where we need to be, that's where we need to start, because this presentation to me is not different from the other presentations. You see, when you get a presentation that tells you that there's an underperformance and underspending, then the next presentation should improve. But if it still tells you about the very same thing that it was telling you in the previous presentation, there's no improvement. Rather than justifying, the departments must tell us what is the cause. Is it the staff, or what is it exactly? Let them come out clean. Then together we're going to take ownership of resolving the problem. People are crying out there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let us approach it this way, honorable members. Obviously, the cause of understanding we had is because of our understanding and underperformance. Is because of capacity, you said, and staffing to a certain extent. You may not be able to answer that question beyond that now. Now, what we should do, we should try to speed up the presentation of the turnaround strategy to this committee, which I think is in our program. And then that is where we will talk more about those weaknesses. I think we should take that approach for now, honorable members. We, so far, I don't think they have anything beyond what they said to us. Over to you, the department. Most of the inputs also were just advisory inputs, trying to advise you. So just zoom in the areas that need clarity for now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also thank the members of the committee.
Sorry. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and also thank the members of the committee about honestness and open that to say that they are willing to work with the department and assist the department, of which us as a department as well, we really appreciate that to the members of the committee. To be open and frank, the time that we took to fill the position, we took a long time, which ending up us not understanding what we're supposed to spend. Once we can improve in that area, it means the capacity.
Just hold it there. That you must repeat it, that not understanding what you're supposed to spend. I thought you wanted to say it the other way, not?
In order to improve on spending, what it needed to, what we, the department, has done as evidence of at this moment. Most of, it might sound as an excuse, Chairperson, but the most thing that the department already done is to fill the top level position in order to make sure those levels can fill the lower position as well. That one immediately. It will increase the spending on the compensation of employees. And also on the other side, the DDGs that are the head of the branches, like core functions, once they are there, the issue of benefit will be fast-tracked because somebody will be fully accountable as the head of the particular branch. Chairperson, the other one that I would like to comment on is in terms of performance agreements. Most recently, the one of the CFO and the new DDG. In terms of the law, it's saying you need to prepare within 3 months. But as of now, we've discussed on Monday when they were starting to say
let them start working on the civil disagreement with our HR. Because by the time the 3 months come, we want that to be in place already. On the 19th of January, as a management, we sat down and then we gone through to say each and every senior manager should have a performance agreement. It's not that it's not something that we dealt with. We didn't deal with. The other area that one might, it's a concern also on the department per se, it's in terms of, to say, in terms of MOUs. It's quite a number of MOUs that the department is working on. Chairperson, I would request, because I've not been long on this area, I might make a mistake to talk about MOUs, whereas I don't understand. Probably Mr. Jacobs, Fenon Jacobs, might take us through in terms of the MOUs that are in place or not. That is where, at the moment, we are, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. With regard to MOU, we have presented to the portfolio committee the list of MOUs that are in place and that we have concluded, and we have held discussions. What we'd like to say is that since the portfolio committee has called entities in to kind of explain what are they doing about the MOUs, we have seen an increase in collaboration and in terms of the opportunities that are then presented for the military veterans. To talk into the one that was presented around the Department of Transport, as has been indicated, it is quite far advanced. In fact, there's a discussion even at the level of the two ministers, our minister and Minister Dipuo Peters, with a view to, they've looked at various areas that come out of this. And the chief of staff, when he called me the other day, I did mention to him that because there is a process that MOUs, the MOU that was relating to the subsidy for transport is far advanced, we would not want to hold back on the MOU and get it signed, but there's a host of other areas that are being lifted, and so we've taken that to legal for their input as well. Because what we want to do is rather get an MOU signed and then look at the extension of scope through an addendum so that we get delivery taking place. The other areas is bursaries, which are being, we're working on that through various entities. There's opportunities for work opportunities. So we don't want to hold back on one MOU at this point in time, but we can, the chair, the portfolio committee has also in process for us to provide an update on MOUs and what we're doing with that. So whatever else is in place will be presented as an update to the current register of MOUs so that we are able to present and see where we are with that one.
Thank you very much. I think you attended to all the questions, if I'm not wrong. And what you should, from what the honorable members are saying, what you should immediately do, one, we don't have to wait for the presentation on the turnaround strategy. If you have to do consequence management, I think those are the things that you should do immediately. We don't have to wait for the presentation on the turnaround strategy if you have to draw job compact. Because people must have job compact immediately when they get into the
in the institution. You do not employ people while you don't know what you are employing them for. I think that is something that should be done immediately, so you know that what everybody is supposed to do. But I'm always concerned about the way you put your targets for military veterans. I thought the benefits for military veterans must start from 100% and cut things down to zero, not the other way around. Because you should have a process of identifying those military veterans who have educational needs and housing needs, and say, we have this. These ones are qualifying. This 100% is qualifying. So we start by 100%. By the end of the Asia, the financial year will be at zero. Because you can say, when we apply, we are 25, we apply, we say, no, we give you 20. What about those other military veterans? Are they going to be destitute? That can happen. Or you can postpone their right to education. You say, no, you will get educated next year. Or your children will get educated next year. You must get educated immediately. So you need to have a mechanism, a process of identifying, because you have the database. The database is complete. You identify those who have particular needs. You say, we are going to attend to this need this financial year, because there are needs that cannot be postponed. Basically, I think that is what came out of here. Mr. Jacobs, you want us to...
Chair, yeah, I'd like to extend an apology, and my apology if I'm breaching any protocol. It's just a matter that was raised by the member who has left on the person who had been lying for 2 months in the mortuary. We did hear about that. It was a long time afterwards. What we're realizing, Chair, is that there are still very many military veterans who are not aware of the benefit that is being offered. And when we were made aware of it, it was one of the comrades in the... It actually came more from the Tataru district rather than from the Eastern Cape side of things. And yes, we did act on it, but what I will follow up is the matter of where somebody says they don't know the number of the executive. So I will follow that up with our office, and we will deal with that. But definitely, sir, we do find out that there are many people who are not always aware of, and therefore we try and act as quickly as possible, even if it's to issue a promissory note through engagement with the undertaker so that a funeral can happen with dignity. We try and do that. So it's my apology in that regard, and we will try and put a better communication strategy through the process you're envisaging to make it more visible to military veterans.
Thank you very much. Finally, honorable members, I suggest that the department should go on roadshow and try to attend to those gray areas that you are talking about. We should be satisfied that everybody has been reached, and then they must be told about what is due to them and so on. And I suggest that if you need to, maybe they should invite us and then be with them. It's so aware, you should just invite us so that we'll give you a support. And then if you can do that as a matter of agency, you'll get the support from this committee. Honorable members, I think we have reached the end. Okay, Honorable Fox.
Can just clarify on the framework of the time frame set for the capitalists. Why are there such complications, and why are not we making progress as we should be making?
The database? Honorable Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree with Honorable Sal that we made a promise that by December we would have finalized the database.
what we have in the department, we have a database of people with force numbers who were in the defense force. So if they want services, it is not difficult for them to be verified. But the difficulty is with people who came back from exile after the certified personal register had been closed. So you still need to bring them into the database of the department. But over and above that, as we are seated here, we cannot say this is the total number of military veterans that we are having in the whole country. We were intending to do that by the end of last year, of December. However, so far we have captured up to 15,000, I think, that is credible database that we can say and confirm that these are military veterans. However, we're working very close with the association of the military veterans so that they can assist the department. We have also identified people who want to exploit the situation to come into the database of the department. So sometimes it takes long to verify these people. But we have there's a turnaround team that has been appointed by the minister that has got this team, and associations themselves now, they have got the verification team that are going to work very closely with the department so that we close this matter of the verification of the department to have a clean and credible database. I agree with you, Chair, that the roadshows have been raising it, that when we go to this roadshows, what we have observed is some of the associations do not inform their members about the outcome. We hold regular quarterly meetings with the executive. We have visited so far 4 provinces where we had roadshows. You must be aware, Honorable, as well. We are left with 5 provinces. Some of the provinces, like your Eastern Cape, it will need a serious attention because it's a very big province. That's your competitive. So I don't want to go into detail, Chair. With the housing, Chair, as you know, that as a department, we cannot build housing. And the turnaround team is looking into that legal implications with the competence of the human settlement. We go to the provinces, and the provinces will tell us we can only allocate 20 houses for military veterans. And that's what causes understanding. We go to a province, the province says we will only have 20 for military veterans. In another province, it's 121. In another province, it's 60. So what we used to do before, we used to transfer money to the provinces. They would tell us, no, we will build hundreds or 200 houses. When you go and investigate, you won't leave in a brick. So what we have done is that now we will transfer money as per their own agreement with us to say, here are the people that we are going to allocate houses, and we verify it. So why we're underspending here on the housing is that the provinces, they are saying, will give you hundreds, well, for the sales, I think they were supposed to be presented, of houses, to see that it is not from the side of the Department of Military Veterans. It is from the side of the provinces. However, we have the National Human Settlement that said they will deliver houses, 5,000 houses, in 3 years, not in one financial year. They said in 3 years they will do that. So the delay really is from the side of the provinces. If we can get assistance from the Portfolio Committee, that as per the act, that we must provide houses for military veterans. And if we have got that legal mandate that will say department, we're giving you this money as per section 5 of the act, you must provide housing, then it won't be a problem of understanding. In fact, in 3 years we would have finished houses for military veterans, including many things that are not we are not having the power to deal with. If you can have those things which are prescribed in the act, but I'm not sure if we can get the support from the portfolio committee, we can be able to deliver on our mandate as the Department of Military Veterans.
Deputy Minister.
A small follow-up. We raised in the committee also the potential of having a SPV, a special purpose vehicle, where military veterans can also build their own houses. And that consideration had to be sent to the National Minister, Sisulu, to consider, because that is not at this moment one of the strategies, and that should be considered as an alternative and another option to also deliver houses to military veterans. If we can have an update, what is the position of the department and also human settlements regarding this particular matter? And it would create work for the military.
Yeah, I think that is something that it was mentioned in this committee, Honorable Deputy Minister, something that needs to be considered. But indeed, I don't understand. We need to, the portfolio committee needs to intervene here. It doesn't make sense. Why you build a house for me this year and then what? Next year, the other person must wait for next year. Because this is, I think this is a priority for government. You see, once the act went through parliament, the act should have been actioned in its entirety. We'll look into the matter of the portfolio committee and then see what intervention we'll do and then give the support. Thank you, Honorable Members. I think the meeting is adjourned.